Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed.
Amen.
Can we shout a louder amen?
Amen?
You may have your seats in God's presence. Can you just say hi to somebody to your left and to your right? Amen. We thank God for today. Are you sure you are thanking God for today?
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh no, every time we have the privilege to gather, I know that God has a plan for us every time He brings us together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, one of the service a believer would do to him or herself is to spend your life living a fake life. You know. First of all, I'm trying to see whether it's possible to spend your resource or spend your life living one. But I think I found out that some people make it possible. As much as I'm trying to find it difficult to, oh, wow, it's so good to see you. Well, it's Balade's good friend. Sorry, what's your name again, please? Foluke, yes, yes. Please let me appreciate Foluke. Some of you might not know her. If you want to know her, just scroll to like 2 weeks or 15 weeks ago, Bolade's WhatsApp status, you'll find that there. Yes, it's Bolade that always reminds us of you. It's so good to see you. So good to see Efe too. You're welcome back from school. Yeah. Amen. And so I find it, something that is worth discovering how people are able to live a life that is not sponsored by God. And it's usually very expensive, you know. At times, some people would have to pay with their lives because they are not living a life that is true. So that's why when we come together, we don't have a budget for drama. Like, we don't have a budget for makeup. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, we don't have a budget that we have to say that you have to behave this way so that the service will go this way. You know, we don't have a rehearsal like that, you know, or a pre-programming of the service that you people on this left, you have to behave this way so that the people on the right, you know, there's no even culture in the air that tells us to behave in a particular way to ensure the service go in a certain way. You know, there's an order in the house, obviously, but that order is not so that we can make those that fellowship with us find it very interesting or not interesting. But we just come as God helps us. We trust God to have a sweet fellowship, right? At times we look around like, oh, I've not seen this person. Maybe the person is still coming. And at times the person might not even show up. And then you're already planning to branch the person's house and hold the person by the trouser. That why didn't that person come to service? You know, that's a worthy reason to go and visit somebody and hold the person by the trouser. Yeah, because you know that, you know, imagine if, you know somebody that you're going to heaven together. Do you get? And you are seeing the person lagging behind. You know, the best thing you can do for the person is to hold the trouser. You know, if the person get angry, then that person is not serious. Because you love the person. That's why you are looking out for him or her. So we don't have a budget for drama. We don't even desire to know what living a fake life looks like. As much as people do this outside. Even some of us, we might have friends that we know that the life they live outside, it's different from the one they live inside, it's different from the one they live in the church they attend, and all of that. You know, some things are strange to me, so that's why I'm trying to, I can't really put words to it, but I just know that at times I see them strolling on Twitter, you know, those that they are disgracing themselves, they are not disgracing the church of God, they are not disgracing their family self. Some of them are disgracing themselves. Hallelujah. Amen. So we've gathered at the feet of Jesus today, right?
Yes.
And we're trusting God to learn. Amen.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 15. And we'll start our conversation tonight from there. You know, at times in life, you have to know what your God-given assignment is, so that when you need to do something else and it's competing with your assignment, you will know how to manage them. John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear much more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Can you go back to the first verse, please? Today, I think I want us to, you know, go on a journey. Let's trust God together. And, you know, we've been talking recently about living an effective life. And we've tried our best. Even though we know God can always take it further, right? To look at the life of faith. And even till now, I feel, you know, you can stay there for as long as... I don't think faith is an exhaustive topic. Do you get? I don't think it's something... It's not 5 things. It's not 20 things. It's literally our whole life. Do you understand? And so, you know, in a way, the more you dwell there, the more you see more of God. And that's the word of God for you. That's not the curriculum of man. The curriculum of man is probably finite. Do you understand what I'm saying? The curriculum of God is infinite. God can literally be saying one thing in many ways, and he may never say one, or he may never say it the same way at any given time. You know, he will just tell you he loves you. Tomorrow he tells you he loves you. That he loves you yesterday and today has never looked plain. It has always been on the increase, right? His mercies, his favor, his grace, his kindness, his power. You know, everything about God is infinite. We can't search it completely. You know, hallelujah. So we're thinking, you know, that, you know, if we have done a bit of a justice to that, maybe let's move a little bit forward and then look at the life of pruning. The life of pruning. We'll still look at the life of praise and prayer. Yeah, it's like I've now moved to trusting God for that life of prayer and life of praise. Because the more I talk about it, the more... I'm not yet seeing us talk about it. So I'll keep talking about it until we talk about it. You know, I've been repeating that life of prayer, life of praise. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
So today we'll be looking at the life of pruning. And, you know, this is a very important scripture that talks about pruning. So it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So Jesus is speaking here, saying that, I, Jesus, I am the true vine. So it means that there are vines that are not true. And this was also brought in the context of many that will come in his name, or even false teachers, or even people that were not sent by God. So he says, he is the true vine. So amongst the true vine, there might be instances where we would see other things that represent themselves as vine as well. And he says his father is the vine dresser. So if you look at the vine dresser, obviously the vine dresser is the person that dresses the vine. That looks simple, right? But the vine is a tree. The vine is a tree that can produce different kinds of fruits. Some vine will produce grape. Some vine will produce maybe kiwi. Some, like, the vine is not just one type of a tree. It's just a tree. And Jesus says that he represents the true vine. Hallelujah. Let's move on, please. So he now says that every branch in me, so he says, I am the vine. So, and there are branches in me. So the vine that is not true would also have branches. It means there are people that have been joined to me as a vine. Same also, you will find every other thing that represents themselves as vine to also have branches. So that's why you can't, you can't monopolize you can't monopolize what you have. Or let me put it. I think what I want to say is you can't assume that you are the only one that belong, you have something that you belong to. Everybody has one or two things that they belong to. So for example, you won't assume somebody is just there and he doesn't have himself or herself associated with something. So nobody is an island. Nobody is all by himself. Nobody is self-existing. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are either taking somebody from somewhere to another place. So there's no, even the one that calls himself an atheist, there's the God called atheism. The one that says, I don't believe in any other God. There's a God called no other God. Like the one that says that, I don't believe that there's no God. That's the name of that God. His name is no God. You know, like in Ephesus, you remember that altar that they raised to the unknown God? So your God can be unknown. It's just that it might not have a name. So there's nobody's floating. Nobody's, you know, there are people that will tell you that, okay, I was once religious, but I'm no longer. Your being not religious is a religion. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just that you don't know where you're paying your tithe. That's the problem. You don't know where you are paying your tithe. You don't know where you're paying your offerings. But devil doesn't necessarily mind whether you know where your offering is going to or not. You know, for Jesus to say, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of the hireling they will not hear. Now, there are some people that would hear the voice of the hireling because they are not his sheep. And they are not just roaming around. They also belong to another. Somebody is also their shepherd. So there's nobody without a shepherd. So that you are not hearing God, you are hearing someone else. So if somebody says, I don't hear God and I don't hear the devil. No, maybe it's still Mami Watada is in your own case. So you've not really heard, it's not everybody that has heard devil. You know, a lot of people have heard his agents, his servants, his demons. If you hear the devil, you may you may not recover. Because you won't even survive. You won't survive the next day. It would kill you, destroy you, and you know, it would do all those three dimensions immediately. Even the people that say that they've sold their soul to the devil. Let's go back to John 15. So everyone belongs to a vine. Everybody belongs to a vine. But Jesus is saying that the branches that are in him that does not bear fruit, it takes away. So Jesus began to describe the rules inside his own vineyard. So don't forget, the Father is the vine dresser. There is a vine in that vineyard that the vine dresser dresses. The Father is the vine dresser that dresses that vine. Now, it says that that vine is Jesus. Or to make it more legit, you know, out of the many vines, he is the true vine. And then it says that inside my vineyard, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, it takes away. So one of the activities you will see in the vineyard is that they are taking out some branches. They are taking out some branches. Now, you might think that that doesn't happen with God. Like God, the message, you know, maybe the branch that is not in him, God reserves it, and then maybe the mercies of God is being sought, you know, and God would have mercy, and then maybe the branch will now be taken back. Like, you know, they didn't record that a branch that was removed was ever taken back. What happened to that branch is here. And every branch that bears fruit, it prunes that it may bear more fruit. It says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Yeah, you can move on, please. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, so when he says that the branch that is not in him is taken away, here it now explains what is happening to that branch that is, you know, the process of taking away that branch that is not in him. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. Now, don't lose the very words that they are using to describe everybody that is represented. So, what, you know, one of the things that, you know, God helps us to understand is, in the scriptures, there are many typologies that are used to describe us. For example, you say we are salt of the earth. We are the light of the world, right? And in some places, we are described as soil. You know, the parable of the sower. You know, we are described as the soil. Our hearts, you know, described as soil. The one that was a good ground. The one that didn't have depth. And the seed fell on the surface, and the birds of the air took it away. The one that the thorns choke, you know, the cares of this world. Now we are being, that's as the ground or as the soil. In some places where we are being described as stones. You know, we've been as lively stones being built up as a spiritual house for God. In some places we are being described as a building, a temple. You know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God dwell. So the Bible uses a lot of typologies to describe our essence in God, our person, you know, who God has made us to be. And none of these things are wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? None of these typologies are wrong. They are perfect. So even in a place where they call us, you know, lambs, you know, or as babes, you know, they, when you look at, so the way to appreciate them is you look at your journey and you look at what God is doing with you. That's how to appreciate it. So because at times when you take them out of context, you might misplace what God is intending to say with the use of that typology. So a typology is just an item that represents another thing. So they use that a lot in the Old Testament, where they would pick an inanimate object and use it to describe an eternal reality. So when you hear stones, when you hear ground, when you hear heart, those things are being used to describe your eternal reality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's something to note first. So when he says we are branches, there's something about a branch that we have to trust God. There's something about the vine. There's something about the vine dresser that we have to trust God to help us understand so that we can understand our eternal reality. What is God saying to us? Not just even here, but in the context of the use of that word. So if he says you are a branch and there is a vine, there wouldn't be a day you will not be a branch. It means till you amount to everything that God wants for you, you would have to remain a branch. So there's no day you will be the vine. Because there's no typology that describes you as the vine. Do you understand what I'm saying now? No, because some people want to grow in God. Do you get? And and the way they've chosen to grow is to be what God has not designed them to be. You know, some people just wish that they can grow in their walk with God and they become, they remove Angel Gabriel. Then they are the one that are called the angel of might that God will be using to do wonders. Amen.
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 Are you still here or you have the person that wants to be the angel, Micah has gotten angry. And if you are part of that person's camp, we will deliver you tonight. So all these typologies are accurate. Do you understand? You are still yet a soil or a ground that God, you know, like the way we are talking about the word of God now, it's a seed. It's going into your heart. Now, as you are a soil that God intends to put a seed in, you are still a branch. See, the conversations of God, you know, one thing as a child of God you must have is a reservoir that can hold the truths of God. Like, you are not a broken system. You know, in Jeremiah, it described the people of God as they having broken systems. And why he said that was, whenever God pours, so, you know, a broken system is like a jar. Or a system, sorry, is like a jar. Now, broken means that it's cracked or there are means of leakages. And so when God is pouring in it, so God says, you are salt today. He holds it for a while. The next time God will say, you are light. He has forgotten that he's salt. Do you get? Do you understand? So as a child of God, you must learn how to, and that's why you can't be overwhelmed by what God says to you. Like, you can't be like, ah, God, otito. Do you understand? Like, you must have the ability to take in. So a prayer, the prayer of Jabez for you is still real. That God would enlarge your heart. God will give you a capacity to hear one, and you can still hear two. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because at times we might say that, oh, why can't God just achieve everything he wants to achieve with one thing? No, he can still achieve. He can literally call you salt alone. And you will fulfill everything that a salt should accomplish. But I perceive in my heart that the reason why God gives us all of these typologies to understand and to find our essence in how God describes those things is so that we can be complete. It's so that we can be complete. So he says that you can go to verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burnt. No, stay there. And you know, this thing has a serious implication. It's saying that as they are disconnected from the vine, we would know them as a branch through all the process of disconnection that they will go through. It says they wither as a branch. They will be gathered as a branch. They will be thrown into the fire as branches because they are not, it's not one. Because other branch that were disconnected will find other similar branches. And this is why you have to always be careful when it's not only you fire will burn. The fire does not like to burn one. It does not make the fire useful. Yes. Fire. So whenever you have that friend that is whining, you don't go to church, you know, that pastor is not saying anything that you can't find yourself. That's a branch that they are taking. And he can't burn alone. So they've told him that look for other branches. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this is why it's also very, you know, when Bible says that, you know, take heed unto yourself by the same gospel, so that this thing that you've also preached, you know, will not stand against you on the day of judgment. I think even the scripture I want to paraphrase is much, everything is around, you know, take it unto yourself, you know, ensure you're still what, standing in faith. It's pretty much, you know, when a man has backslided, it's just like the experience of Adam. It will still be a branch. See, the experience of withering, the experience of it being gathered, and the experience of it being thrown into the fire, it's not one day. It might not even be 1 year. And that's why the identity will still be, this is a child of God. But by time it starts going through a withering experience, it's only those that can discern very well that we know that this guy has been disconnected. That's why he's withering. This guy has been disconnected. That's why he's finding himself all the time being joined to people that are not progressing. So this is a serious caution that the vine himself is saying that if you don't abide in me, my promise to you is that you can't stay with me. But you know, one thing we always think about God is, we always think God is just cause. It's actually cause and effect. Meaning, if God does not do something with you, something is doing something on you. So that God didn't do something with you is a cause. Like C-A-U-S-C. That means something has actually happened to you. So if for example, if God says, you know, 10 people lines up here. Do you get? You know, and God picks 5. Now, the 5 that God didn't pick, somebody has picked them. It's not like they are waiting that, they didn't pick us. No, you have been picked. So the question is, who picked us? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, at that point, the question should not be, I want him, mommy. You know, like the story of the foolish virgins. Something else happened to them. It's not just that, they didn't have oil and they were stranded. No. The door was open to some. The door was shut against some. So when God says that if you don't abide in me, you know, something else is happening to that person. But the interesting thing is the identity, you know, it's the sorrow here is that it's still a branch that was supposed to have been connected to the vine. Like, we will know, while he's born, we will know that this one should have been joined to this vine. It's like they maintained this guy's identity through the pain, the sorrow, the rot. You know, when he says that, all that you've given to me, I have kept. Except one. Now, he didn't say that. You only gave me 99. No, he said you gave me 100. But one, out of the one you gave me, that identity is still on it. Like this one, you gave me, but he chose perdition himself. And that's why they are God's children in the club. They are God's children going. they were not appointed for what they are going through. What's happening to them is withering, gathering with your same kind. I mean, fellow branches that are disconnected and burning. Please go back to. Amen. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you would ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Please go back to verse 4. From verse 4. Can you go to 3? 2, sorry. Yeah. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that branch may bear more fruit. So you can see that Jesus says that the criteria to keep yourself glued to me, you know, if you're trusting God for a grace called abiding, there's actually no grace called abiding. Like, God, I want to abide in you. No, the grace to abide is to bear fruit. Like, as long as you bear fruit, you will abide. So you can't be praying for God, give me the grace to abide, and you're not bearing fruit. Are we here? So as long as you bear fruit, you abide. Like, it's automatic. If you don't bear fruit, they start having the conversation of taking you out. He says, every branch in me. So even the one that is praying about, God, I love you, God, I want to stay with you, they've put him under every. The one that is not even serious, he's also under the every. As long as that branch, you can't attribute fruit to that branch, then that branch will be taken away. But it says that every branch that bears fruit, it prunes that it may bear much more fruit. Now, today, what I want us to really focus on today is every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Every branch that bears fruit. So Jesus is saying that a successful branch is that branch that bears fruit, gets pruned, and keeps bearing fruit. So, because the continued staying of that branch with the vine is based on bearing fruit. But Jesus has said that for you to bear more fruit, there's something in the middle. So if you bear fruit now, the possibility of you bearing fruit again is not in yourself. You find that out. In verse 5, it says, for without me, you can do nothing. Now, in this context, there are two things you want to do as a branch. You want to abide and you want to bear fruit. Now, to abide, you have to bear fruit. That's like the requirement to be in that vine. If you don't bear fruit, there's no other conversation. Like, there are reapers that are coming. They don't hear story. Like, they just look, no fruit. Like, all the kwe morog. Like, and you're still praying, God, I want to abide in your temple. They're not seeing fruit. And I don't want us to joke with this, because this is what God uses to describe us. Now, if it's that he's using this to describe somebody else, and he's saying, maybe like the story of the ant, you know, go to the ant and learn. Now, that's go to the ant. What's happening to the ant might not happen to you. But when he describes our eternal reality with one typology, then we have to pick, oh, this is where you can miss it. This is where you understand what God intends to do with this thing. That with a branch, there are two things. Abide and bear fruit. But the mathematics to abide is bear fruit. And to bear fruit progressively, you need to be pruned. So if you're a mathematics student, what's the derivative here? And what is the one that is not the derivative? Which one is the source of... This one that people are smiling now. It's like, I've divided the church. Sorry. Oya, come together again. I will not use my hand to scatter. No maths. Sorry. No mathematics. Ah, I just saw division. Like the Red Sea was parted. No, don't worry. It's we'll read what we can see. Amen. So if you look at this, it seems to me that to abide is automatic. When you live a life that is bearing fruit, it would have been an outcome of abiding. Now, if you don't desire to abide in Jesus, you won't see fruit. So, abiding is like, bearing fruit is like a destination. Then the process to getting to that destination is finding yourself in an abiding state. Now, if you're abiding in Jesus, you will bear fruit. Because fruits are not in the air. It's not like you just go somewhere and you take fruit and you say, this is my fruit. No. It's when you are abiding in Jesus, you will find out that the life you're living is a fruitful life. Because being with him is giving you the dictates on how to live, you know, obediences that it will bring your way. You're able to live the life that you can't live by yourself. You know, a lot is flowing from the vine to the branch. Now, to bear more fruit, which is also another outcome, is also another destination, like a life that is progressively bearing more fruit. Now, it's not only abiding that will do that. It's pruning that does that. So Jesus says that branch that desires to bear more fruit is on the basis that is abiding. And because he's abiding, he's bearing fruit. So that qualifies him for another conversation that God now calls pruning. Now, why does God want us pruned? I mean, one is obvious, to bear more fruit. Right? But the reason, or some other reasons that God wants us to bear more fruit or to be pruned, is first of all, this is the type of life that brings glory to God. Now, the life that he prunes, or the branch that he prunes, is truly his own. Now, if you as a branch, you're bearing fruit without pruning, then it's not his branch. It's your own branch. You know, there are many types of experiences that you see in the scriptures. But even so much with us, there are things we see in the Bible that we desire. And then naturally, if you describe hell very well to someone, nobody necessarily wants, even the person that says, you know, why would they just put only devil there? You know, it would be lonely there. Like if you can geographically and, you know, if you can just describe that, there's something that melts even metal at the highest, like when you're looking at maybe 1,000,000 degrees Celsius, like it can melt anything. Do you get? When they understand that, you know, because they know that there's a fire that can melt metal. Do you get? And then you tell the person that, do you know that there's a fire that can melt your bone, and it will look as though your bone is not melting, but you are melting. And, you know, when the person, you're raising back, raising front, you're just, I don't really think I want to be there. Now, as much as people desire to live a kind of life that the scripture, you know, even the whole Quran itself. Now, I'd never been a Muslim, but the whole Quran itself is a stolen hope. Yes, I said that. You're thinking maybe Ojabo. I said that. Meaning, the hope that is painted for a believer is what is picked. Now, they won't achieve that hope because that's not the way to that hope. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So, for example, when they're saying heaven, which they call Al-Jannah, and when they say all those things, is the hope that you have that is here. Yes. Now, when they pick it, now the mathematics to get that hope, they don't know. That's what the Bible says. You search the scriptures and you thought you would find life. That's what it meant. Like you schooled yourself, like, oh, okay, this is it. But they didn't find. So as much as they know that that's one of the hope or the many hopes that is locked up here. Because this book is accessible, right? But it's closed. Do you get it? You find it in shelves, you know. But it's closed. So they see that, these guys will end up here or might end up here, okay, and then they paint that hope for themselves, which is then now a stolen hope. Do you get? It's only one question you will give to any of their scholars. I always tell people that at times I could easily pass for an apologetic. But I don't think I will be one because I don't have a lot of saliva. I feel like there are two things they do. They talk a lot and they talk very fast. After a while, I'll just start shedding tears. Jesus, you know, they are very, I like them. Someone like Ben, what's his surname? Shapiro. Yeah, I like people like, and there's this other, John Piper. I don't know if you guys know. That one is even very, I like him. He's a sound Bible person. I'm not just talking about people that are intelligent. He's an apologetic, but he's also very sound. In the Bible, he has some very, I think he runs the Desiring God, the blog, and he's always very, very powerful. But when he sits down to defend, you know, there are some people that God has raised them to defend the Bible. God did not raise all of us to defend the Bible. He's not all of us. There are some people that God has wired, they read the Bible both, you know, as letter and spirit. You are reading the spirit. Do you get? Meaning like you are, as you read, you're saying, God, open to me. They are not saying, God, open to me. They are connecting all the dots. Do you get? So because you can't easily say why Luke wrote Luke. Oh, need time. You don't have time. You, like how Luke wrote what he wrote, you didn't even do the research. That Luke was a doctor in those days. Like you don't know. Do you get my point? Because you didn't go to Bible school or you didn't even find time to maybe research. You are just looking for life. You get Moraye Bobo. Moraye Bobo. But the people that make extra effort, maybe go to Bible school or maybe take the Bible and theologically look into exegesis. They split everything together. They get, or they will dismantle it, then bring it together again. So they have that knowledge, and then they are able to face antagonists like real. Some of us can't face them. You will backslide immediately. You just They'll just ask you one, two. So some, I always advise is not a calling for every child of God. It's not a call. So when you see it, just like it and do skip on your YouTube. Don't say, God, is this what you are calling me to become? No, I don't think so. You even be a better pastor than be an apologist. You understand what I'm saying? So I always tell people that I could easily, but there's some things I see them do that I don't think I'm wired for. So there are people that they desire the goodness that you see in the scripture. People desire good life, sound health, healing. People desire a lot of things that Jesus preached, that you can't have them except you come. There's nobody that desires to be carrying a heavy load. You know, it says, come unto me, all ye that's what? Labor and what? A heavy what? Laden. It says, come unto me, I will give you what? Rest. So nobody finds out that he's heavy laden and he wants to be in that state. Even the sheer desire of man is to be free of everybody. Why man gets into more trouble is because they are looking for solution to a trouble. You know, it's just like maybe somebody looking for a child now goes to Oya to go and collect a child. Like from, you are trying to solve one trouble, you enter then midnight, you are not sure who is crying. Whether it's a baby or it's a cat. You know, I grew up binding and casting cats. When we just hear a cat crying like this, my daddy will wake everybody in the house. Oh yeah, let's face the West. It's an innocent cat that I just... But at times, he may not be an innocent cat. Because if you are naive, you know, you are gone. Yeah. So I'll probably just trust, it's just my being a child. You get, I won't play on those sensitivity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Please go back to John 15. So when we live a life that God can access and God can then employ pruning, then we can be effective in the aspect of bearing fruit. Now, I've said to us that being effective is that you can produce everything that God can produce out of you. So imagine that you can live a life that is 100 and you later found out that you only did 10. Now, you know this branch? They didn't tell it the day they were telling it to be joined with the vine that more fruit is your destination. It was always a conversation of, if you don't bear fruit, I'll cut you off. So that branch could easily even mock the person that is not, maybe the one that is just, that has only produced one season of fruit, would definitely be like, sorry, the branch that he has cut. That didn't. But you wouldn't know that there's also a responsibility on your life that is not one season of bearing fruit that has been allocated to you. In that bearing fruit, there will come a season of pruning because there's another season that requires that more fruit is produced. You know, when you do a very tedious task and there's a good output that comes out of it, you know, the first thing that comes to our mind is rest. But that's not it with God. With God, when you produce something so big, mighty, the next conversation is actually pruning. Let me give us a very practical example. Let's say if God brings a promotion and the promotion came with an increase in salary, even the people of the world, they know that the first thing you do is not rest, is cut every possibility that will now make you live large. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like they will give maybe this very common thing, you know, ensure you don't start living your life with a new salary. Like don't be living your life, assuming that new salary is what will be funding your new life. So if you can stay on the former side, just keep going that way. But it's not so much so that you can preserve yourself and the success. That's not it with God. So the deal with God is when that salary increase comes. So there's more money, right? With God, the pruning is so that there will be more money after the more money. So the people of the world is cut so that you can preserve the money, the more money. So it's like the word you say, prune yourself so that the more you have, you can preserve it. But with God, the pruning is so that there will still be more fruit. So if you bear fruit, you bear fruit, you have an outstanding success, is prune, more success, prune, more success, prune, more. So it's not prune as to become defensive. Do you know the only thing that God accepts as a form of defense? It's not you defending yourself. It's God defending you.
Yes.
See, the only assignment God has given to every child of God is to be on the offensive.
Yes.
You know, it was recently I even found out that even you, when God gives you a child, it's not to be protective of the child. It's for you. They just gave you an arrow. Bible says in Psalms, it says so that you can go back to the gates of the enemy. If you don't acknowledge you can go back there and trip the ice. Because they've not given you what? An arrow. That's why it says, a happy is the man that his quiver is full of them. He will not do damage. The places of his defeat, he cannot go back there. It says he will not go back to the gates of the enemy. It says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. That's his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. He says, happy is the man. He's God's reward, he's God's heritage, but for that man, he's happy. He says, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. I always tell people, everywhere my own parent or my father or my mother has been defeated, I'm the one to, like, they had me so that we can go back there. And that's why you have to name victories on your children. Like this poverty was broken. You came so that we can deal with poverty. You came so that, you know, polygamy that was reigning, you know, you would deal with glory homes. That's the way God, that's why he has given you children. So he didn't make us so that we'll be on the defensive. The only place of defense is him. We should be on the offensive then. He should be defending us. So, you know, my wife taught me something. That's why you would tell your kid, you know, that, you know, we always tell our children that, you know, don't be like those bad children. Rather, we should be telling them that, do you know that? You know, there's a way, let me hope I get it. Do you know that other children can be like you? Like you are making them the sign of threat. Not like, don't be like that bad boy. Don't be like this bad boy. Like, do you know that this boy can be like you? Not, don't be like. You know, that's the way we were, actually. That's the way. Like, don't be like that bad boy. You know, we should not put them, you know, quickly shield. And yeah, you might say, oh, the responsibility of the parent is to be protective. The Bible says, when you receive the arrow, what? You don't protect arrow. You use the arrow. Like, you are looking for your first enemy to shoot down. So with God, the conversation of pruning is more fruit. It's so that we can bear more fruit. You know, one thing to quickly note before we move on, you know, pruning is not punishment. I know we'll still read Hebrews 12. We'll still read Hebrews 12, which would help us understand a lot of things about. You know, the Bible says, he who the Father loves, it chastises. I've also said that when God doesn't have interest to prune you, then he doesn't own you. He doesn't own you. So God desires, he desires that we are pruned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when pruning is happening, you know, pruning is only supervised by God. Because the most interesting conversation to you is to abide. Don't forget, that's where the whole conversation started for us. You know, abide in me, and I in you. And then later you found out that your abiding led to bearing fruit. But God says, with me, that you're abiding and that you bear fruit is not enough. The fullness of your life is more and more and more abundantly. And so for me to achieve that, I would insert seasons of pruning. That after every expenditure of what? Of bearing fruit, I will put pruning in between. So that you have, you know, it's just like when you go through a season and it looks exhaustive. Like literally what should be happening after now is that you should be resting. But God says, the way I restore you is in that pruning. Now, agricultural-wise, you know, the reason why a farmer would want to prune could be many reasons. One of it is so that the nutrient that the tree should have would not be competed for. You know, you wouldn't have weeds and other things competing for that nutrient. So, for example, if you maybe put manure or you put water. Now, if that tree has a lot of competing factors, like there are a lot of weeds around it, now, the nutrient you think you're putting in that tree will not be enough for that tree because other things are competing for it. So one of the reasons why God prunes us is so that the strength he replenishes us with is enough. And that's why a child of God would always have enough strength to go on the next endeavor. Now, the only reason why you wouldn't have enough strength is when other things are competing for that strength. You know, one way to ruin your marriage, because there's a strength for your marriage, but one way to ruin it is when you have side things. Yes, that's... No, like if you're looking at 101, ruin marriage, ruin 101, have side attractions or distractions. There's strength for your marriage, right? You know, the marriage you think some people are not enjoying, some people are enjoying it. And it's not like they had what they didn't give to you. They lay down on both of you. And now, probably they even poured oil on you. But you can use those things for other things. Yeah. You know, the same prosperity that God gives, somebody can take it and be spending it on what was not allocated for it. Then the person say, January is long ago. Oh, this January is long ago. You understand what that means now? OT not bad, 30 December. OT spend everything. Say, is your salary still remaining? It has finished. And so when a child of God always finds himself stranded, he's not pruning you. You are the one punishing yourself. Other things are now competing for the provisions of God over your life. Because that provision is for so that you can achieve more fruit. Yeah. It's so that you can take what he has provided, and you know, it's just like when you the way some people do their business, when they make profit, then they take that profit and reinvest it in this. So the reward for, so you are not yet at a point where let my soul now come to rest. I always feel like that guy could still be alive today if he didn't make that mistake. Because he had the first taste of victory. So when God prunes us, one of the focus is so that he can take away the side distractions that would compete for the resources that God provides for us. So that we can then achieve more results. You know, I've already said, you know, why God prunes us is that confers and confirms his ownership. If God don't prune you, you are not his. You know, somebody is asking, how can that be possible? Can you be a branch, bear fruit, and wouldn't stay with pruning? Yes. Can you go to that place where it talked about those who have once tasted of this light? Try and look for it, please. I know it's not one of those popular scriptures. That is difficult for them to. Does anybody know where we can? Hebrews 6:4. Thank you. Those are the apologists amongst us. You know, how many of you grew up in churches where as the pastor is preaching, somebody is just quoting. He's just quoting Psalms, chapter 1, verse 2. Okay. Bible. Those ones are Bible, walking Bible. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gifts and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they what? See, there's only one reason you will fall away. Is that as a branch, he's not able to prune. And so there's no possibility of bearing more fruit. And if there's no bearing fruit, there will be a falling away. So, but these people, they had a good experience before. So it's very possible, please go back to verse 4, to have been once enlightened. And that's why we charge ourselves to keep the fire burning. Because if the fire is not burning, such can fall away. I mean, the same person that declared Jesus is Lord, that saw miracles, that saw the dead coming back to life. He says, I've tasted the heavenly gift. These are very, very glorious experiences. Some of them, they don't even look like what we are even experiencing, Gosef. He says, you have tasted of the powers of the age to come. You have tasted the good word of God. They also had the experience of the Holy Spirit. He says, if they fall away. He says, to renew them again to repentance. Since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. You can please go back. So God wants that our lives, this is where a child of God would find contentment. And you wouldn't be under the pressure to be what God has not ordained for you to be. Let me quickly tell us a little about how to handle our seasons of pruning. Like I said, the pruning activity is what God does in between our seasons of harvest. I can use that as well. You know, the seasons that God expects that you will produce fruit, that's the harvest season, right? But what God does in between it to ensure that you are not lacking in anything is that in between every season, God is then pruning you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the first thing to do in the season of pruning is to guard your heart. You know, when God comes to us in a season like this, devil also plagues our heart. And what does devil bring to the heart at that time is contradictions. You know, for Eve or for Adam, it's always a conversation of, as he said, it was always a conversation of competing for the validity of what God has said. And for every one of us, you know, God will bring us into a season where God is preparing us for the next season. See, if you're a child of God, you know God walks by seasons. The reason why he does that is so that he can calibrate your victories in periods. So it's not like you will happen once. No. None of us will happen once. Do you get? Like, when you happen, you will happen again. Like, well, I'm a blue. That kind of, you will not blow once. Can you say amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a godly thing that blows once. Even God, he didn't blow once. He's still blowing. And that's why we can always meet him ready to bless, ready to favor again. He would tell us, Jacob has collected all the favor. No. We know he still has. He's just whining us. He still has. He has more. So what God does is that he prepares us for every season. So, you know, one thing I understand about God is that he prepares for every season. So if God is, and whatsoever God labels your season, know that there is a preparatory phase for every season. Now, when God is preparing you for a season, now the way some people see their preparation is some do forward-looking, some do, let me learn from my mistakes of the past season. No. That what God is so much interested in is at that waiting period, let's use that, is preparing you to have the kind of heart for the next season. So, for example, if your next season is maybe marriage, for example. Now, your pruning period is God preparing you to be the man that he would tie to his daughter. Same also, you know, for the lady, you know. And then God will begin to bring conversations that begin to tailor your heart. Now, you were not like that in every other season that achieved greatness for God. And then maybe for some, is, you know, telling you about your conversation, you know, how you talk, you know, how you behave, the manner of how you carry yourself and all of those things. Now, that period, God is pruning that man or that woman to be the right man for that season. Now, the reason why a lot of words are hanging, that seasons are not activated, is because the man is not pruned. The man is not, because God knows that when that season comes, it will look as though that season didn't come. Now, the reason why, a lot of people say, but we've declared this word, is because the heart was with many other things. Weeds here, distractions here, you know. You've already budgeted for the new season. That once this new season comes, I'll use to buy a car. I'll use it to, you know, your heart is already full. That he had no space to ask that, God, what are you achieving in this new season? So what God does in between that is God getting you ready. Now, when God is doing that, the first thing or one of the things that you have to do is to guard your heart. Because at that point in time, because you've had a victory before, and God is preparing you for a bigger victory, now your heart needs to be guarded. Because the devil would then tell you, you made it happen. It would then tell you, no, guy, rest. Like, rest. You just got the biggest deal. Rest. You know, another thing that you do, you fight against when you guard your heart is when it makes everything look simple. It's not that difficult. Like, it's not as though God came through. Like, we just had it. So it's a lot of contradiction that it brings at that point. And so you need to guard your heart in that season. Now, the season of pruning is not the season where you are the mountaintop. No, it's that time where God is taking you through processes and dealings. Now, don't forget, it's not punishment. But it's that time he's telling you that, hey, guy, you won't arrive well if you are like this. You know, that pruning is just like in the days of Ahasuerus, where they took all the fine ladies. And some of them, they soaked them in perfume for days. Because the plan is, if you come before the king and you're not worthy, you will be killed. Now, it's not about your past pagan beauty pageant that you've done. No, it's that at that time, if you are not the beauty pageant for the king, you will be killed. And so it's a season of preparation. And in that season of preparation, your heart is guarded. You know, what happens for your with your past victories is praises. It's not you explaining them away. Like, oh, this is why this thing happened. This is why. No, no, no. You know, one thing that devil uses to cheat us as believers is he helps us to explain our testimonies. He tells us, do you know this why, this how, this when, these things happened. So you guarding your heart is to ensure the only conversations that are staying in your heart are the conversations of the readiness for the more fruit. So you guard your heart. You guard your heart. You guard your heart. Because God wants to ensure that that heart has not been compromised. So for every season of pruning, God would expect that we guard our heart. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I know we don't have much time. Let's read Hebrews 12 from verse 7. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I one of the great things that God is preparing us for as a house is to do the works of God. You know, that was one of the things God told me while I was here, and I wrote it down. Probably maybe we'll talk about it on Sunday. And if we will do the works of God, we will do many works of God. And if we will do many works of God, then we will be pruned by God. See, whenever you hear any story of anyone God has used, even if they don't tell you about the pruning process, there was a pruning process. Don't call it a bluff. The ones that say it, fine. But many don't say it. Because in that pruning is a one-to-one thing with God, where God says, this is mine. You know, it's just like the case of the potter and the clay. You wouldn't say that this is how I want to be for my next season. He says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are what? Illegitimate. And not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and life? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful. So they quickly help us put it there. Yeah, so the Bible has said, it's like an enduring moment. It's just that you just know that it's God that is in charge. He says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, what does it yield? To those who have what? So you can see in your pruning, they are making you the right weapon to deliver good justice in the next season. See, one of the pitfalls of a believer is to assume their next season. Like, just when you're here, you just assume, like, this is what God wants to do. See, when God confers a new season on you, it's like they just blew the alarm of retreat, 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 because you first of all need to go into that season where you're not ready for what he said. That's why the Bible says you will wage a good warfare with the prophecy. What's the good warfare? You will take the word, and the prayer is now, God, make me. Yeah. the man for this word. You can't just take the word and just run. Where are you running to? He says at the end of it, at the end of the pruning, what we would see is a peaceable fruit of righteousness. I like the way he ended it. He says, to those who have been trained. So you can see in the pruning stage, it's training that is happening. At times, the way God would teach you in the pruning stage, he would show you your own frailty. You know, David was sugar, darling, sweetie, poppy, pie, you know, before he became king. You know, we said, oh, the one that slew the sheep. We don't know this one can take another, but he can slay another person's wife. We just say, the David that killed the bear, the David that killed the Goliath, that killed the lion. There was a tendency in him. Yes. See, when you study David, David is like that man that is a branch. He bore fruit, he killed the bear, he killed the lion. Then he was pruned. He had another bigger victory. He was yet pruned. He had another bigger victory. He made assumptions. He failed. He was pruned. Because for God to do more with you, you can't escape pruning. Because your tendencies are greater than your assumptions.
Yes.
Yes. No, we all assume to be good people. Yeah. But your tendency is in another place. Oh. is uncontestable. Your tendencies is, that's why he says, if there be any iniquity in my heart, he's like, I'm not sure of myself. Oh. Because you, God, you are the one that is saying I'm the best thing to happen. You know, you are taking me to great places. Me, I'm not sure of myself. Like, so reveal the tendencies. You know that prayer in Psalm 51, it's not Joko. It's a man that is saying, see, search me, oh God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked. Okay, Psalm 139, not 51. 51 was when he was praying for restoration. A lot of people praise Psalm 51. When your pastor just catch you like this. Oh yeah, Psalm 51. If you didn't pray Psalm 51, you raise up your hand. Holy brothers. Holiest of all. Gugbo Alagba, Psalm 51. Some people, you just came late to church, Psalm 51. Sir, the Holy Spirit has not left Psalm 51. He has left you already. You came late to church. If you didn't collect Psalm 51, I need to check your faith again. Amen.
Amen.
So we guard our hearts because we are at that point in time, we are dealing with contradictions that the enemy will bring. Did we finish the Hebrews 12? So that we can tie it up. There's no time. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I want to be trained by the pruning of God. Like, I want to be trained. I want to be a man that God has said, this one is ready for the next thing. You know, you don't want to be a casualty.
Yes.
In your season. No, you don't want to. You don't want to. Because God has not promised any one of us a repeat of a season. Like, you don't want to say, let me try the season first. If I fail, I will start it again. No, it's God's season over you. It's not your season. Verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no man will see God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll continue from, you know, how to respond and how to handle our seasons of pruning. But one thing I want us to take away, you know, amongst the many things we've said tonight is to stay effective, God has to cement with us a conversation called pruning. Like, it has to be a conversation we are now conversant with. That by the time God is, you know, declaring and singing a new season over you, you know behind you that there is a callback that God is telling that I have to prune you to be able to bear fruit in this next season. Like, don't make an assumption that fruit is automatic in that next season. And when we do that, we are preparing ourselves to be ready for more fruit. Because when we abide, we bear fruit. But when we are pruned, we bear more fruit. Pruning confers ownership. It tells him that it is his. It's God's. Like, this conversation is no longer me trying to make it in God. A lot of people know that with this God, you can make it. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Father, we're grateful for tonight. We trust you for this conversation, God. Because it goes beyond the good preaching. This is our life. It's better we preach about something else if we intend to make ourselves happy. This is about our lives. And you said in your word that he who the Father loves, he chastises, so that he can bring forth peaceable fruits of righteousness. Lord, help us today.
Amen.
Help us every day.
Amen.
Father, we don't want to be a shadow of ourselves. We don't want to be people that the past was the best. We don't want to be people of folk that gather people and tell them folk tales. Oh, did you know me when I was in uni? Did you know me when I was this? Did you know me? I was the one that turned this school upside down. We know that was fruit, and we know there's more fruit. Whatsoever is competing, whatsoever is in a place of serious competition for our abilities to be sufficient for these seasons that we are entering into and that we found ourselves. Lord, we surrender ourselves for pruning. We come under the radar of God that is able to sort things out. We bring ourselves under the power of the mighty of God. We know we are safe with you. It's because you love us. We know our sustenance is tied to bearing fruit. You know, I pray for everyone here and those that are watching us online and those that would even yet listen to this message, that none of us will stop bearing fruit. There will not be an occasion that we will stop bearing fruit. Help us, God. Help us to be effective, oh God. Help us that the life of pruning will be that life that we have put our lives under. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the glory, Jesus. Thank you, everlasting God. In Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.